12:40 a.m. WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. The show is presented to you folks by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, personal injury attorney Jim McGing here in Chicago, the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly.
Beautiful.
Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Damn.
And Tullamore Dew Whiskey.
Delicious.
My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me tonight is the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hi.
Rain your love upon me.
And missing tonight is our loving, loving twin brother, Mr. William Houlihan.
He's okay. He's just fishing.
He's on his fishing trip. Clay, it's lovely. We haven't done a show together, just you and I, in a long time.
A long time.
Isn't it? It's like going out with on a date with your wife. You know, we haven't been alone in a long time.
It's like going out to
without our children around.
Yeah, it's good.
You mentioned to me outside, you said, look at you, you have a jumpsuit on tonight. And I have kind of running wear. This is my workout gear that I was talking
about. Have you been working out?
I've been attempting to work out. I spoke of this on a couple of our last episodes, that I visited the tanning portion of the health club.
That's the first step.
Right. It's the first step.
You gotta get tanned, then you get muscles, then you get a tattoo of a dragon, then you're good to go.
The Jersey Shore fitness regime, yes.
Yeah, and you get a motorcycle, and then you...
You get a couple of ex-wives, you get going, you know? Kickstart your heart.
Yeah, get a 357 Magnum.
Anyway, I do have kind of a jumpsuit outfit on, Clay. And you said, how do you feel? I said, I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And you go, and you said to me, boy, during this COVID, I feel like I've had sweatpants on for like 6 months.
I do feel like that.
And you make an excellent observation. I actually opened my closet today.
Yeah.
And looked at like sport coats and like slacks and ties and pressed shirts.
Tuxedos.
Well, this used to be my everyday wear.
And now it's dusty.
And I'm just like, what am I doing with this?
What are you going to do with those dusty sport coats?
And now I'm thinking about, you know, these might not fit me once I get in my tip-top shape that I'm hoping to get.
Come on.
You know?
What are you going for?
I want
110?
I want to look like Channing Tatum. You know? Hey, listen. Don't hate on me. I'm just trying to look like Channing
Tatum.
I want to look like Tatum. That's the physique. He posted a big picture on Instagram the other day that I saw.
And he's a big picture?
Well, no. Oh, boy. You got any big Channing Tatum photos? Yeah, give me a minute, okay? I'll show you when we close.
I'll print a couple out.
Right. I saw a picture on Instagram of him. He's 40 years old now. He's like all ripped, and he's like, yeah, baby. You know? Yeah,
when you don't have a job.
Magic Mike's
nice.
Back or whatever.
He gets paid to do push-ups.
Look how cut. Well, Mike's pulling it up. Our producer, Mike Sarkowski. Look at that. Yeah.
He's
toned. He's kind of toned.
Yeah, good for you.
Well, that's what I'm like. I don't want to get like Hulk big. I just want to get, you know, Channing Tatum big.
Randy Savage was toned too. And where is he now?
Randy Poffo is unfortunately deceased.
That's right.
The great who?
Macho Man Randy
Thank
Savage.
Thank you, John. You threw me on the Macho Man.
Well, you know, speaking of working out, I got a new pet peeve.
Okay.
And I've been
ahead.
Seeing a lot of this go on lately. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's the Halloween season.
Yes.
But I see a lot of people jogging in cemeteries.
Yeah, well, that
bothers me.
Does it?
I don't know why. Maybe as a devout Catholic.
Right.
Or possibly as like a, you know, I respect the dead, you know?
Right.
I think that's kind of like,
it's disrespectful. Right. It's a sacrilege to exercise with the dead.
Yeah, if I was dead, I wouldn't want someone doing that. I'd be mad. I'd haunt them.
Right. Hey, I'm dead down here. Quit doing planks on top of me.
Yeah.
You self-conceited yuppie scum.
Yeah, quit running listening to Coldplay, you jerk.
Right.
I'd grab their ankle and just yank them.
That's an interesting horror film.
Joggers.
Dead people pulling joggers.
The joggers, it's called.
Yes, the joggers. Wes Craven's The Joggers. Deranged joggers getting eaten in a cemetery.
By zombies. I love it.
Yeah, it could work.
It's got legs.
Well, about the outfit that I have on. You got a
fireball coat on. Let's be perfectly frank.
Well, this is my brother Bill gave me this because he obviously used to work for Sazerac.
And fireball now is a what?
It's a whiskey.
Okay.
But this is a nice, like, Patagonia, you know, zip up thing.
Yeah,
a runner's kind of coat.
Sure.
It's a woman's jacket. It's my wife's, and I've been.
Woman's jacket.
That's where I am in my life. I'm just comfortable wearing women's clothing. You know?
Well,
that's what COVID's done to me.
Last episode, we said you were an aspiring business lady, so I think that's. Maybe
the cosmos is trying to tell me something. I'm a woman.
You're Tootsie.
Could be.
You're Tootsie, aren't you?
But you said, how do you feel? And I said, you know, it's weird. When you put clothes like this on, you get tired.
Like when you put on sleepy or like sweatpants and stuff.
Yeah, these are like running pants, and like, and all of a sudden I'm sitting. I'm like, I'm comfortable.
It should be the opposite.
I think I'll lie down, you know, or I think I'll do. And then the whole purpose of clothing like this is for you to get out and be active. And I think it has
a reverse effect.
It has a reverse effect. It makes me want to just lie down.
You know what you need to do? Start wearing real starchy like shirts and pants, like real starchy.
Thank you, doctor.
So it's like so stiff you can barely move. Right. My dad used to wear a lot of Oxford shirts.
I remember
the blue ones.
The blue and the white ones.
It would be so starchy that he would never stop working, never stop moving.
Because he couldn't get comfortable in his shirt.
Yeah, he would just fidget around and smoke and drink coffee and then, decide to drive to somewhere crazy, an army base somewhere.
Well, Clay, you told me earlier at the break that you did something like that today. You said, well, I just got out of the house and run up to you. Your family has a farm in Marengo, Illinois.
True, yes.
That you like to visit frequently.
I do go and check on the, the property.
It's like the fortress of solitude for you.
It is, yes.
Especially for a guy who, no longer drinks or anything. You can go up there and go fishing for a minute.
Yeah,
or walk
listen to the wind.
Well, yeah, but today you went up there.
Yeah.
What, yeah?
Sound like Sid Vicious over here interviewing me. Right, yeah. So you got this farm, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing up there?
Right, yeah.
Do you drink blood up there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wear exercise clothes there? Do you drink calf's blood?
You went up to the farm today because you were like, oh, well, the kids were at school. We had the cleaning lady came over.
Agnes?
Agnes, your cleaning lady.
She does a wonderful job.
Shout out to you, Agnes.
Agnes, yep, you do a good job. Yeah, Agnes was coming over. I didn't want to be there for that. It's like a 4-hour thing. She's always in the room I want to be in.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
so you went up to the farm.
I did. I didn't have to work till later in the afternoon, I did.
And tell the audience for a minute what you did when you went up there today.
I got bored, and I went and bought some bullets.
Doesn't get any more American than that, I guess. I had a real lazy day. I got bored. The house lady came over. She was in my way, so I figured I gotta go buy some bullets.
I gotta go buy some bullets. I got a little .22. It's a very non-threatening type of deal, and it's in a safe, so it's very well protected.
Okay.
But I take it out there sometimes and shoot, pop cans with it and stuff and whatever. They call it a pea shooter. It's like a little.
Do you give any
shoot squirrels with it type thing?
It's not a gun. I just use it to shoot squirrels.
Air skunks, in my case.
Right. Do you find yourself giving out any primal vetter screams?
No.
When
I do
fire
it for about 10 minutes, and then I do it the following year once. And then I do it more like once a year.
So it's like once a year, get your firing practice in.
Just get it, a couple little target practice.
One thing I know that's important to do before any sort of gun range activity.
Sobriety is important.
So, yes, very important. But if you want to be on target.
Ear protection.
Yes, ear protection.
Mouth. Eye protection.
Eye protection.
Mouth protection, mask, COVID mask.
Got to have a COVID, yes, yes. Don't want to get COVID from the gun.
That's right.
Hey, how'd you get COVID? I was sucking on the gun barrel again.
From my Remington.
From my Remington. Oh.
My cousin Earl borrowed it, sneezed on it, gave it back to me.
One thing I know that always protects you in these kinds of ways is McCann's Irish Oatmeal. If you have a warm bowl before you go up to the farm to do any insane activities.
Any part of the country.
A bowl of McCann's Irish Oatmeal will give you more of a sound mind and soul. This show is presented by it. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million-dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
Hang in there! We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lynyrd Skynyrd right here.
Oh, yeah.
Give me back my bullets. Thank you, Mike. Welcome back, folks. Before the break, we were discussing Clay's
farm visit
yeah. Where he decided to buy some ammunition for his gun.
For my 22.
For your 22.
Yes.
Hence the bump right there. Give me back my bullets.
My skunk killer, I call it.
I've never been in a gun shop, but you obviously had to go to one today to purchase this.
I did, yes. I didn't go to Jewel and buy it.
Although,
this isn't, you know, Panama.
They have jewels in Panama with bullets. We got to move. Excellent. Where did you buy them? You can buy them at Walmart. That's why I was saying
Should
that.
I plug the store?
No.
It's a gun shop near Marengo, Illinois.
Okay.
There's only one. So.
And was it crowded?
No, I was one of two people in there.
And
there was like 12 employees, so it was really weird.
Oh, all right. Interesting.
Yeah. And I was walking around going, hey, how are you?
Are they on top of you like car salesmen? You going, hey!
A little bit.
What are you packing?
They're all armed.
What are you packing?
Most of them are armed, too.
Do they say that to you? What are you packing?
What do you need? What are you packing? Yeah, what are you looking for? No, it's like a movie store.
Yes, I would imagine so.
It's almost exactly like a movie store.
Yeah, I'll take RoboCop on LaserDisc and a couple thousand rounds of those AR-12
those
bullets.
Those deadly bullets up there. Yeah, it's really not too exciting. It's pretty standard.
Bill, our other part here.
Our partner.
Yes, our partner. The lovely William.
Yes.
He's on his fishing trip tonight, obviously, but while we're in the sort of, he's on a hunting kind of expedition.
Is he hunting or fishing?
Well, he's fishing.
But he's hunting fish.
It's in the same realm. That's why we're going to segue to him. He's calling in live.
He's on the phone.
Yes, Billy, are you there?
What's up, fellas?
Oh, Billy, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, my friend.
Rumor down here in the big city is that you're hunting fish up there.
We are. And we've been successful.
What do you got?
We got fish already.
How big?
We got about 8 drum, all little baby ones.
Oh.
Probably about, I don't know, 10-incher, something big.
All right.
Bill, you guys went up there this afternoon. You drove up there this afternoon.
I did not get up here until probably about an hour and a half ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're doing some night fishing.
We're doing some night fishing.
As soon as you guys got there, it's kind of like running the water immediately, like got a good fishing immediately, or no dinner plans?
That's what it is. No, we ate on the way up there. We'll eat tomorrow morning, but straight to the dock.
Bill, they have a lot of Hardee's restaurants in Wisconsin. Is that where you are?
I am in Wisconsin, but no, I did not stop at a Hardee's. We did see one on our way up here.
You did? Well, sure. I'm curious if they still have the Eddie Vedder milkshake with
whipped cream.
With a little whipped cream in it. Clay was telling us about it last week.
Yeah, I think that runs through Christmas.
Well, what are your plans?
Runs through Christmas?
It does, yeah.
Bill, what's on the agenda tomorrow? Well, how does the fishing trip work? I've never been on one.
He's never been to a gun store or a fishing trip.
No. No.
We set it up. We had a nice team. We had a TV. We brought up a 40-inch television, you know, to stream all the baseball games.
Bill, try to put the phone a little bit further away from your mouth.
Yeah, are you sitting in a canoe?
Sorry.
You're a little muffed.
Well, you know, I'm in Wisconsin, man.
Hey, so let me get this straight. You're going up there to watch TV?
No, but, you know, we got playoff baseball going on.
I'm aware. Yeah, it was very disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. We're not happy about it.
Yeah, I know.
There's some Cubs fans up here, and they're not happy either.
You know what you should do?
I do.
Eat a big bowl of McCann's Irish oatmeal and then shoot some fish with a 22.
I don't have a 22 up here.
I got one. I'll run it up to you.
Bill, it's yourself. Mr. Mountain Dew, Brian Murky is with you. All right.
Dr. Dew.
Dr. Dew. And then a crew, shout out to you, Brian. And then a crew of some of your other pals. This is kind of like a Promise Keepers weekend for you. What do you guys talk about other than fish up there?
Girls?
Board
games?
You know. Play a little cards.
A little poker?
A little two-card taco salad? Yep.
Nice.
Well, what kind of boat do you have to fish on? What exactly are you? People go up there with this, like a certain intention to find a certain kind of fish. Are you on the hunt for any sort of strange Wisconsin?
We're hunting for walleye.
You're hunting
for the walleye run up here.
The giant walleye? 17 foot long?
No. You can only keep, you're allowed to keep one. If you catch one walleye over 21 inches, you can keep one.
You know what you should do?
You know, like, and then
catch two and stuff one inside the other one.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Bill, I had a question for you because you cover the sports on this show pretty much. Did you happen to see the end of the White Sox game this afternoon? This is Wednesday, folks.
Yeah, he said he's mad. He's mad about it.
Yes, I did. I streamed it on my phone while we were driving up here.
Can't you hear it in his voice?
No, I know. Well, I know he's disappointed, but I was equally disappointed.
And I was too.
I turned it on. I turned it on in the eighth inning, right? And as soon as I turned it on, they started making a comeback, and I was like, "Well, I can't. There's a thing here. I'm kind of superstitious about this stuff. Like maybe they started winning.
You should have stopped watching.
Because I'm watching,
right?
You know. And so I
right.
And then we get to the top of the ninth, and the Sox, you know, obviously two strikeouts, and then they load the bases, right? Madrigal gets on. I forget who else got on, but anyway, the bases are juiced, and Abreu gets up. Right, and he's the MVP. You know, he's an MVP.
No
candidate.
Better situation to be.
I'm thinking, okay, if this guy goes yard right now, and they go up a run, this is an MVP solidifier. He's going to win the MVP this year, no doubt. My biggest letdown was in a situation like that in playoff baseball. He swings at the first pitch, and lines out, and I'm thinking to myself, the guy just walked another batter previously. Do you sit down and get up there and say, I got to look at one? Or do you play the aggressive style that the Sox have, you know, exhibited all year and do the first pitch
first
swing?
First base routine? Coach Billy, what do you think?
You hit on the first pitch if you think it's there.
Really?
You did the right thing.
So you think it was good that he had the green light to just go right away?
If it's there,
he
you go.
He wasn't going to see a better pitch to hold at that.
No. Okay.
You know, I respect
he was doing
that.
He's been going to right field a lot this year. They had a shift on him. He made a good contact.
You know what we call that in the farming community, Pat?
What's that?
Shooting from the hip.
Oh, yeah, shoot from the hip, yeah. Well, I don't know, Bill. What do you think about tomorrow? Do you think the Sox have a shot to do this? I think they're going to win it tomorrow.
I think so, too. I think they're mad.
I'm staying positive. Yep, I think so, too.
Who's on the mound?
They haven't decided. They haven't announced yet. Renteria hasn't made the announcement yet.
Maybe it'll be Eckersley.
No.
Wouldn't that be a thing? Dennis Eckerle.
Could be Dylan Cease. Could be
Larry Flint.
Yeah.
He's got a hell of a screwball.
Signed him off waivers.
Michael.
White Sox signed Lawrence Flint off of waivers. Nastiest screwball in all of baseball.
Correct.
Bill, you mentioned a couple episodes back that you thought maybe you might run across some sturgeon while you're up there. That's a very rare fish. I believe Lawrence Flint had a pet sturgeon once.
He did.
He may have.
He did.
Stevie
the surgeon, yes.
Stevie.
Alfina, get Stevie the sturgeon some food. He's hungry.
He's addicted to Tic Tacs.
He's addicted to TikTok and Tic Tacs.
TikTok.
You had a fish addicted to TikTok.
So come on, we're wasting Bill's precious time.
I know we are. This is part of the show. We get kind of silly.
I have a feeling Bill's gonna get a surprising catch out of the waters tomorrow. Something big and nice. And it's not gonna be a big Mac.
So, boys.
Well, Bill, I'm gonna let you go. I was hoping that you'd already been up there a few more hours and had an exciting tale to tell, but we're obviously infringing on your bro time.
No, dude, we're freezing up here right now. Some
is it that cold?
Guys are going to bed. We're going to get up at like 5 a.m.
Gotcha.
How many cartons of smokes you got up there with you?
Yeah, what was that like? Big cigarette run on the way up?
We had to go get cigarettes on the way up. That is correct.
That's in it, yeah. What else was there? Did you have you visited
fireworks?
Have you gone to any of the convenience stores on the way up to Wisconsin? They have better convenience stores in Wisconsin than they do in Illinois. Because they have meats and cheese.
Yeah, we did not do that yet.
But okay.
It's on the agenda for the way home.
All nice. Right.
If we can find bring some me some sausage.
Yeah, bring me some sausages.
Sound like Flint again.
Bring me some sausages. You're going to be in Wisconsin? Bring me some sausages home.
Bill, it's been silly.
Correct.
I wish you well on your fishing trip. We do miss you. We can't wait to have you back in the studio next
be
week.
Be safe. Wear a life preserver.
Stay here, fellas.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Clay. Wasn't it lovely to have Bill call in?
It sure was.
Unfortunately, he didn't have anything exciting to talk about yet because we kind of infringed, you know. He's like, you're not infringing on my bro, Tom.
He was on one of those big, like, military phones.
It could have been.
World War II.
I think, you know, I bet there were other people sitting around him while he's, you know,
who was
talking.
You know, was with him? His friends. He's got friends in low places, Billy.
He does?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You wanted to play that song tonight.
We should, since we're in a country mode.
Is that
talking
is that, who,
about
who
guns
is that
and
Garth Brooks?
And fish.
I got friends in low places.
I got a little story about this. Once, when this song came out, what year was it? Can we probably like 90?
I can look it up.
95, I want to say.
Hey, what year did Garth Brooks do "Friends in Low Places"?
So I was at a with a friend whose brother played baseball at Nebraska.
Oh, I remember this.
And I went
1990.
I came out in 90. Okay, so.
Thank you, Mike.
I was there probably in like 94 or 5.
At the University of Nebraska.
At the University of Nebraska, and hung out with the baseball team.
And on that team, I believe, was like...
was a guy named Darren Erstad.
Darren Erstad, that's right. He played for the Chicago White Sox and the Anaheim Angels. He was also he was a kicker for the football team there
And he won a World Series with the Angels.
Okay.
And then became the manager of a team, I forget. And now he's the coach of Nebraska.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So... that song was like played on repeat, and we would go to these parties, me and my buddy who were like 15, and we would get drunk and throw up. And
right,
and this song
with a bunch of college baseball players,
with a bunch of college like country baseball players. Everyone was like chewing big quads of, you know, Levi Garrett, it was called. It's like,
yeah,
Red Man Chew.
Sure,
they'd make us do it. We'd like barf and they'd laugh. And the whole time this song was playing in the background.
So you got hazed by Darren Erstad.
I really did.
To Garth Brooks' I Got Friends.
Another guy's name was Alvy Shepard.
Alvy Shepard, yes. Alvy Shepard grew up. He went to Proviso West High School. He was a standout baseball player.
Yep.
He, believe it or not, he was, I think he was a New York Met for a little while. Got drafted.
Yep.
And then now he's like a spokesman for like Nugenix or like Icegenix. Like a,
one of the nicest people I've ever met. He was like the greatest guy ever. So this is dedicated to you, Alvy.
Okay, dedicated to Alvy Shepard. It's Garth Brooks on the Hooli's Hooli with "I've Got Friends in Low Places."
Blaming all on my roots, I showed up in boots and ruined your blind tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes when I took his glass of champagne. And I toasted you and said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain. 'Cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the Oasis. So I've got friends in low places. Yes, I was wrong, I just don't belong. But then, I've been there before. Everything's alright, I'll just say goodnight and I'll show myself to the door. Hey, I didn't mean to cause a big scene. Just give me an hour and then I'll be as high as that ivory tower that you're living now. 'Cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. Yeah, I'm not big on salt. Think I'll slip on down to the Oasis. So I've got a friend in low places. I'm not afraid.
I'll tell you what, I've having tended bar for a number of years, probably heard that song a million times.
Yeah. That's dedicated to the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers baseball team.
God bless them.
God bless them, is right.
Sound like our president right now. This debate is dedicated to the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers. God bless them. Excellent. Did you watch any of the debate?
This debate performance. I've seen clips. I can't handle the whole thing. I'm so politicsed out.
Yeah, I know.
I'm basically watching sports and Seinfeld. That's
I couldn't go the show without at least addressing it like once.
Here's what happened. Joe Biden was like this. Ah, geez. And Trump was like this. I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? And then it ended.
Yep. Exactly.
And Chris Wallace was going, stop that.
He was lost. He was not ready for it.
No, they should have Bruce Willis be the moderator.
Oh,
like, will you shut your mouth for a second? Like to smoke with a Zippo?
Bruce, pretend all you want. We were friends years ago at the MGM. I've got more dirt on you than you can imagine.
I got video of you, Bruce.
I want 60 s'more seconds.
I want 60 s'mores.
I want 60 s'mores and 60 more seconds. Okay, McLean? Now watch this old fart die hard on me.
We got Paula Deen back here. She's going to make 60 s'mores for you real quick.
Paula Deen? We kind of haven't heard her name in a while. You throw her out because she was the racist cook, right? Yeah, she must be friends with Trump, I guess.
She's
right?
Friends with Garth Brooks.
Oh, I'm sure.
She's one of the low friends he's referring to.
Now it's like
friend in low places.
Wouldn't that be a video? Like all the people who fell from grace? Southern people who fell from grace?
Starting with...
Like they're all like, they're like missing children. Like they're on the back of milk cartons. You
starting
know?
With Robert E. Lee. Right. Go all the way back.
Robert E. Lee, Paula Deen. That's insane.
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, sure, why not? Jared from Subway.
Is he Southern?
He is now. Doesn't matter if he's Southern. He was in a low place. Song has nothing to do with Southern. The debates were entertaining, I have to admit. They made me anxious. Like, I started watching and I was
all
like,
debates make, even if it was like, you know, Tom Cruise and Elvis up there, it would still make you anxious.
But more exciting, maybe.
No, but
Tom Cruise debates Elvis.
That'd be crazy. No, wait a minute, Tommy.
Vaccines work.
I eat peanut butter and bacon sandwiches.
Hey, Cruz, how about a little more action, a little less conversation, a little more, please?
I don't think so, Elvis. I do my own stunts, tough guy. You shave those sideburns off.
Yeah.
Don't get personal.
Right. Hey, ooh, no.
I have shot a man before.
Right. The debate, I turned it on. I was expecting it to be a little bit more civil than it was.
No, it was a joke.
But I wasn't wowed by anybody, right? There wasn't any moment in the debate that made me all of a sudden say, you know, maybe there's something different to this guy that I didn't see prior.
You know what they should make him do? They should have to play baseball catch the whole time they're debating. And they can't, throw it hard at each other. Right. It has to be civil.
Oh, well, that's like a marriage counseling meeting. Like, now you pass the ball to her, and she talks for a minute, you know?
Yeah. No, they got to make it interesting. It can't just be two jerks at a podium.
Well, they have to figure out a better way to moderate it.
Yeah.
And I don't think our president had any interest in wanting to act civil on that front anyway.
Donnie Trump is non-moderatable.
Well, you say that, but he's non-moderatable in an environment that is
non-moderatable.
That he views as extremely biased, right? So, coming out on the attack because he knows that the moderators and all the other stations covering this are going to slant it against him anyway. He has nothing to lose by going after them.
This is how you solve the
problem. And part of me respects him for that. Yep. You know, like, that's the media's fault in many ways.
Yeah, it's so unorganized that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts. But
you know what they should actually do is when your time's up, like a giant glass booth comes over you and seals you.
Trump's coach, you just see Trump banging a mouthing liar.
Liar! Permanent marker on writing.
Right.
This guy's a joke.
Arrow. But you put the glass booth over Biden.
I'm with stupid.
Biden doesn't even realize the booth's on him anymore.
He just keeps talking.
He's just looking around.
He starts eating the sandwich?
Into space. What? What's this?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be an interesting...
I think it's a fascinating idea.
Alternative. Well, they said, I believe that they were going to try to rewrite some of these rules and work with the,
it doesn't matter.
The campaigns to get something more cohesive now.
Even if it doesn't go the way they want, they'll just make it a post-debate statement, you know, like, this is what I really wanted to say, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they
it
do
doesn't
that.
Matter. I want the whole thing to be over with. I wish it was November 5th.
Well, I think a lot of, but I got news for you. From the sounds of last night, it's not going to be November 5th. Because clearly, either side, you know, is going to want to see what those mail-in ballots
but
look like.
My responsibility is over.
I think, I mean, as a voter?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, fair enough, right?
So I can tune out.
Right.
I can think about baseball.
I've already tuned out. I think most of America has already tuned out to this.
I tuned out in 1994.
But yeah, obviously it's pretty insane. Listen, at the beginning of COVID seems like years ago to me all of a sudden. At the beginning of COVID. Thank you, Vetter.
I still can't believe that COVID is happening.
I can, but
it's nuts.
It is nuts, and the longer it gets drawn, I think many people are starting to become extremely desensitized to the idea of it now. Even if, you know, slowly people started going to the parks again, some things are reopening again. I've seen, you know, I think people are still wearing masks, right? There's plenty of that going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But there isn't sort of I think a lot of the paranoia of it has evaporated. And now people are starting to just get kind of annoyed with it. And the whole impeding amount of time coming up to the election is, I think a lot of people are expecting, oh, we elect a president and COVID is solved.
No.
You know, like, I think that's way the mindset of about 75% of the country. Like, they think that way.
It's going to be a stressful winter.
I think so. And it's going to be... you know, one of the things that they went after President, you know, they went the Biden, the Trump talked about, they didn't go after him on those. He did bring up a good point about reopening, right? And obviously, Biden's, again, he's very cautious about the reopening.
Yes.
Right? Trump is very, you know, the economy, no, we got to get things opened up. But he did address the mental health, right? That's a real thing right now, very real thing that is not really being reported on. They talk about the spikes in violence in this country during this. Much of that has to do with people being cooped up and flipping out.
Yeah.
You know, right? They got depression. They flip out. They have, you know, hostile environment at home. They're
totally.
You know, so I do believe that there is the mental health. Look where we are. We're a divided country. You know, like.
We're a divided country.
Thank you. I didn't know we were at Duncan.
We're divided country. Not divided London.
Yes. But I think that's a big proponent that the parties, both of them.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
I'm just saying both parties are selfish for their own reasons, right? And we're the people sitting in the middle right now going, hey, what's going on?
You know what you just did? You just defined politics in America for the last 150 years,
yeah,
basically.
Pretty much. I don't know. I don't know nothing about politics.
It's the same old broken record. It's a lot of talk, no action, and, you know, it doesn't really affect us too much.
Well,
you're right. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
It's like the stock market. It's up and down. It's up and down every 4 years.
I guess that because the news cycles have traveled so fast since March, there's been...
Put down your phone and go fly
another a kite. Another major news event, another, you know, catastrophe, another, you know, that trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma, that all of a sudden March does seem like ages ago because you're hit with something more devastating. You're like...
Here's a good philosophy to live by.
It's like, boy, I remember getting hit in the first round and that stung, you know, and then you're in the eighth round and you don't even remember the fourth.
Until your face starts melting off, just enjoy yourself.
That's a good advice. Listen, everybody, chill until your face starts melting off. Enjoy yourselves. Make money. Okay? Go out, make money, have fun.
Making money is important.
Make money, have fun.
Make money, have fun. That sounds like a Beach Boys song or something.
there's a make money, have fun, help a lot of people is a credo that I've seen on the internet quite often.
Yeah, sure. You know what I did? I mean, I shouldn't. I told myself I wouldn't tell people I did this, but the other day I'm in my favorite chicken place, which is called Nick's Pit Stop. It's on Damon.
Okay.
It's a, you know, roast, broiled chicken, whatever.
Like a rotisserie chicken?
It's like grilled, but it's whole chickens.
Sure. Yeah, like a rotisserie. Yeah.
And then you get the mashed potatoes, you get green beans, you can get mac and cheese, ooh, blah, blah, blah. It's good stuff. Good okay. stuff.
What's it called?
Nick's Pit Stop.
Shout out to you, Nick.
Shout out to you, Nick. But I'm in there the other day, and it's just me and one other guy, and he's a sanitary worker, so okay. recycling or something. And we were talking baseball, whatever, and blah, blah, blah. So then it's time to pay, and I decided to grab his lunch for him.
Oh, that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, because you know why? I'm always putting the wrong stuff in my recycling thing.
Okay.
I'm always putting the regular garbage in there.
All right,
and
yeah.
They hate it, so yeah. I'm like, here's my payback.
Yeah. Interesting you bring that up, Clay, because I have found... I was at Target again recently, right?
Yes.
And there all the time. I went to White Castle afterwards. And I've started to be more, and I complimented the person at White Castle and, you know, thanked them for working. And made it a point as I was walking into Target to say hello to everybody. Hey, how are you?
Every single person that works there?
Well, I'm trying to, the kid working the door who I said, hey, how you doing? Having a good day?
You should have walked him back in the stock room.
And then because,
hey, everyone! I'm Pat!
I've decided that if somebody's walking in my, you know, 5 foot
general direction,
my radius, right, and they make eye contact with me, just going to go, "How you doing?" I'm just going to start acknowledging their presence,
no matter who they are.
It's just because I'm trying to live consciously like that now.
Like, what if it's like an outlaw biker?
So what? How you doing, outlaw biker? Good for you, man.
A Latin King.
Sure. Hey, Latin King. How you doing, buddy? You know,
Putin.
Mr. President, how are you? Mm-hmm. Throws a Putin at me.
What if those three were walking down the aisle at Target?
A Latin King, Putin, and who else?
An outlaw biker.
An outlaw biker, a Latin King, and Vladimir Putin walk into a Target. How about that? It's a great starter of a joke. We got to write the punchline now.
We'll work on it.
And some dandy says hello to each of them very nicely.
Some Patty.
Some Patty says hello.
A joke from the 40s.
We got to turn it into a riddle now. So
how's that worked out for you?
Well,
are people saying hi back to you?
Yes. I've noticed that it reciprocates, right?
I say hi to everybody.
But also, I'm thinking that if I live in a more positive mindset and just take the moment to acknowledge people and say hello to them,
yeah,
that it does make a difference. And it attracts positive energy your way, right?
Very nice.
Well, I think I've had, you know, an enlightenment of sorts lately where I'm like, life's too short to be a jerk, you know, or to not pay attention to other people, right?
Right.
Acknowledge people, say hello to them, you know, regardless of where you agree with them or not.
I tell my kids, there's only two, forget about everything else. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There's
right.
good people and there's bad people.
Well, Mike just gives me an interesting note. He said, oh, have you taught that to your kids, Mikey and Charlotte? And really, my wife did that, right? My wife is very much like that. She's very sweet and nice and says hello to everyone and gives people compliments, you know, which is nice. My daughter Charlotte has picked up on that. In fact, even my wife comments that Charlotte is wonderful at that because Charlotte does it more than my wife even.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we were on the street the other day walking into a restaurant and a woman walked by and my daughter Charlotte said, "I love your outfit." You know? And the woman was like, "My God, thank you." You know?
Yeah.
That wasn't my daughter. That wasn't her trying to be different. That's just who she is, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I'm learning from it. All of a sudden, I'm like, hey, and the interesting thing is my daughter gets bullied at school a little bit too, right?
For being too nice?
I think she's very outgoing and forward, and I think she can butt her nose into other people's business sometimes because she's rather familiar and precocious, you know?
Sounds like someone I know.
Mm, yeah.
You were like that in grade school, but we loved it.
She's also very sweet and says nice things to people. I think kids are wigged out when people say nice things, when another kid says a nice thing to them, because they're used to getting crapped on by other kids all the time. Nice to them, they think the person's being facetious or roasting on them in some weird way, right? There's like this weird trust in adolescence. Like, you can't be nice to someone.
That's why I show up with a half dozen Charlies from Dunkin' and I pass them out to all the kids.
That's how you get friends, you know? Three pumps in a caramel swirl. Charlie D'Amelio cocktails at Dunkin'. Oh, I did a little bit of research on that, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think they have coffee or caffeine in them. I think it's just milk and caramel swirl.
Weird.
Anyway, if you want to hear more about that riff, you can find archived episodes of the show if you go to hibernianradio.org.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think you have to be cruel to be kind. You know what I mean? Do we have Cruel to Be Kind by Nick Lowe? Maybe we'll play that and then go right into a commercial. How about that?
Cool.
But Clay, do you find, do you ever consciously say, I'm going to try to be a nice dude today? I'm going to try to be.
I always try and be nice, no matter what. But it's not easy sometimes.
Well,
I feel like I should have been a lot nicer as a grade school kid to a lot of the kids that we went to grade school with.
Yeah.
So got to make up for it. Well, that's why I'm buying people chicken.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm buying people chicken. That's why I'm buying people chicken.
Buying people chicken, saying hi to people in gun shops. You know me. Just all right. All around friendly.
Do you have it queued up, Mike? Cruel to Be Kind. Nick Lowe. More Hooli's Hooli after these. Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million
$1 million medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGang of the Miller & McGang Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGang today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehy's pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. from the family farm to your table. Enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Ah, welcome back. Fourth quarter of the show here. Don't worry, be happy. Thank you, Mike, for that bump there. That's Bobby McFerrin. I suppose that people do. Yes. Don't worry, be happy. Get a Charlie D'Amelio Dunkin' drink. Three pumps in a caramel swirl.
Some warm milk.
And some more milk.
This reminds me of being in my mom's car.
Does it?
Yeah, 1990s one.
Your mom used to like Phil Collins a lot, too.
Smoky car.
I remember she used to... Remember that I Can't Dance song that Phil Collins did?
Genesis.
We'll play that on the way out, then. I Can't Dance. That was her jam. I just remember that one year. Phil Collins had like a big reemergence that summer.
That was a huge summer for Phil.
I don't know what year that was. You sound like Johnny DeRito. That was a huge summer for Phil. The year I Can't Dance came out? Come on.
He bought a convertible.
Right. He was practicing a lot of positivity.
He bought a Saab.
We talk about before the break, I did talk about, trying to consciously live as a nicer person. Say hello to people.
What's his face?
Well, the interesting thing about it, I think that it,
Michael Lispy.
Michael Lispy, motivational speaker.
No, yes. Who's the other guy? What's his name? I forget. Tony, what's his name? The famous
Tony
guy.
Robbins.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure they preach that as well. But I have noticed that it takes your, for someone like me who had like the tooth problems and was feeling like a lot of anxiety, I'm sure it was all COVID related, a lot of just being at home on top of each other, too much time in your own head. I have noticed if you get out of your head, you can get out of your head by being nicer to people. Instead of thinking about all the crap in your life all the time, open up and see what is going on with everybody else, right?
Sure.
Interesting. Excellent. Weird note story, okay? I've been doing these lately because we are getting towards the end of the show. First of all, Conor McGregor, he shaved his beard. He says he's going to fight Manny Pacquiao next. Have you seen what this guy looks like without a beard?
No, I don't really care anymore.
Oddly strange. It's like no one cares. It's like seeing an uncle for the first time that's had a mustache for 100 years. You're like, what? What's wrong with you? Put the beard back on. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a traveling freak show at this point. He's gonna be fight. Who's he gonna fight next? George Foreman.
He wants to fight Manny Pacquiao.
Who cares?
He does. He's going to fight him in the Middle East, I guess. So those people care. The weird story I was. They care in China, Conor.
Yeah, Abu
China
Dhabi. Now.
Joe Montana, football great
this.
Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Crazy.
He had an alleged intruder come into his house and attempt to kidnap his grandchild. I mean, this is like right out of a movie. Well, this is a weird thing.
Yeah.
The woman accused of breaking into Joe Montana's home and snatching one of his grandkids just got slapped with two charges that could land her in prison for a long time. No duh. Her name is Sodsai Dalzell. Sodsai. I don't know. Sodsai.
Sodsai, what the hell are you doing in my living room?
Sodsai, how are you? Why are you here? Are you here to take my kid? Go deep.
Cranky. Do you know how he foiled the incident?
That's how he asked her to leave. Hey, I need you to take a Z-pattern out of here.
No, she came in, she grabbed the baby, and then he took a five-step drop and drilled her in the face with a spiral.
I thought that could have been
And the wife grabbed the baby out of her hands.
That's how
he's going to tell it to people.
That's nuts. The cops say Dalzell broke into Joe's Malibu home over the weekend and took his grandchild out of a playpen while they were sleeping. After being confronted by Joe and his wife Jennifer, the couple was able to pry the kid away from her without any harm. Dalzell was picked up by the cops shortly afterward as she tried to flee the premises. Prosecutors recommend Dalzell's bail be set at $200,000. That's it?
That sounds like a mental health situation.
I think, exactly, but it you know, we're going to kidnap Joe Montana's grandkid?
She probably didn't know it was Joe Montana's kid.
Probably not, right? You just thought, oh, this is a wealthy home somewhere. I'll go in here and maybe we take the kid for ransom or something like that. Very disturbing, especially now that I have children. I think about that kind of stuff. Like, what kind of person wants to go in and steal another person's kid?
That's why I'm buying bullets.
Well, that's why most of America is. Anyway, folks, if you've enjoyed the last hour of this program, I want to remind you again, first of all, Clay, it's been lovely the last hour.
Pat, you're a hell of a guy.
Always entertaining.
Mike,
with you.
Thank you for engineering this.
Thank you, Mike.
This engine.
We did miss Bill. He'll be back next week. If you enjoyed the last hour, you can find archives of this show if you go to Hooli's Hooli Show at iTunes, or you can find us at hibernianradio.org.
Yeah.
Do want to thank our sponsors once again. That's McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Yes.
All right, personal injury attorney Jim McGing here in Chicago.
The best.
Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Delicious.
Outstanding. And the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub out in Beverly and in Bridgeport.
And Tullamore
Dew. Until next week, it's Clay's mom's favorite song, I Can't Dance. Bye.